scripture comes from 1 Samuel, 17th chapter, 11, 45 through 50. The Philistines gathered their forces for war. Saul and the Israelites drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 125 pounds. Then Goliath said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing Goliath's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. David said to Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As Goliath moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck Goliath on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him.
Holy, 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 and we probably the most famous story in the entire Bible. If you ever had a children's Bible storybook or have ever been to Sunday school, I'm sure you've heard the story of David and Goliath. So we're going to look this morning at 1 Samuel and the passage there, 1 Samuel 17. David's certainly one of the greatest, if not the greatest, perhaps some would say that in the Old Testament, David certainly among the greatest of the Old Testament characters. But not only that, I think he's one of the most interesting figures in all of history. He was a true Renaissance man. He had all kinds of talents and abilities. I mean, just kind of brimming over with talent and with ability, we would say. He was a shepherd. And I don't know that it takes a lot of talent to be a shepherd, but I would imagine it takes quite a bit. Certainly a lot of persistence and hard work. He was a musician. Yeah, he wrote that psalm that Andy and Patty so beautifully played this morning, or should I say Patty and Andy, on the violin and guitar, respectively. Very beautiful rendition of As the Deer. As the heart, I think the King James Version says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, yes, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. Well, he wrote many psalms, and psalms are songs. So here was a man who's not only a shepherd, but a songwriter, a musician. A musician extraordinaire. I mean, he was called the sweet singer of Israel. And he was a warrior. He was a mighty warrior. We'll see that today as we look at David and Goliath. And, of course, he was a king. I left out there that he was the ancestor of Jesus. I'm sure you all know that. Jesus was called the son of David. David had many faults. We all know about those, or you know about some of them at least. Glad we don't know them all. David would probably say that I have a lot more than that. Because the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And so we all are in need of the grace of God, aren't we? And David is an example of the grace of God. Well, what lessons can we learn here today about David and his bravery in facing Goliath? Goliath was a very large man. He would have made Shaquille O'Neal look like a midget. He was up there, over 9 foot tall. And I think well built to be able to carry 125 pounds of armor. I mean, I don't even think I could pick up 125 pounds anymore. Maybe one time I could. But to carry around 125 pounds of armor and a spearhead that weighed 15 pounds, some think as much as 25 pounds. I mean, this was a man that was not only tall, but obviously very well built, very fearsome as well in his appearance. So from that time to this time, if you want to describe something that you're facing that is monumental and so big that it's impossible, you think of Goliath. Because really that's the lesson here. I remember Jesus saying, if we will say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it shall be done for us through prayer, through the power of God. God's power is not limited as our power is. And David was one of the first to recognize that, to plug into that power. So what lessons can we learn? Well, first of all, we can learn about fleeing of fear. Now, I suppose that's not the best grammatical structure there. Fleeing of fear, you wouldn't flee a fear. If you had a fear, you would flee. But we don't generally think about fleeing our fears. But it's what the Bible says, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And David understood that. David understood that he had within him, as we all do, these native fears that I think we all struggle with. Now, I don't know whether David at night had to sleep with his light on next to his bed. I don't know that he had a bed. I'm not sure he had a light out there in the shepherd fold anyway. But maybe before he graduated from his home there with Jesse and his mother, maybe he had to sleep with the light on. I don't know. I did when I was just a 5 or so. I'd always prayed what was in that closet. We had this back in Illinois. We actually had basements back there. And we had this, as almost every basement has back there, this kind of room that's kind of a catch-all. I think maybe it used to be the coal room. And it became a storage room. Well, it had this lock on it, just a bar of wood that was screwed into the door jamb, and it closed the door and locked it. But I was always wondering about that, you know, how safe that was. But I wondered, well, what's in that room? So I had these fears that I think we all are born with, really, kind of native fears. I think it's because of the old nature that we have within us, the nature that we are born with, the Bible says. We have this nature that has been tainted by sin, really. It's been affected by sin in every way. And that's why we need a new birth. We need to be born again because that, for one thing, those fears can then be dealt with by the one who is all powerful. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. But here we see David fleeing a fear. We're told here about Goliath, how fearsome he was. This is again in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. And it describes him, a very fearsome description here. Came out of the Philistine camp. Now, the picture is of the, if you want to picture this in your mind, the Philistines, who were the kind of the traditional enemy of Israel. They were there when Israel came into the land. God gave them the land. And they fought many, many battles with the Philistines. They were their most, you know, their number one enemy as far as a nation was concerned. And they were standing on one hill. The Philistines were the armies, that is. And the Israelites were standing on another hill with a ravine in between them. And so this ravine became a part of the scene of this battle between David and Goliath. Kind of an ideal spot, wasn't it? Kind of an amphitheater almost. I mean, I doubt if there were any bad seats there to watch this event taking place in the valley below. Now, God, what God does, He does. Sometimes He does in secret. More often than not, God wants to demonstrate His power. And He did so that day. This Goliath came out, this champion named Goliath, came out. He was 9 foot tall, this says. Actually, 9 foot 9 inches. I don't know where they get the nine there, but considering the cubit there. I think, doesn't the King James say cubit? How many cubits is he? Well, yes, but how many cubits was he?
2 minutes.
Like Too Tall Jones? Have you seen that Too Tall Jones commercial where they try to measure his height and the bar isn't long enough? I think he would have shattered all doorways. I mean, he couldn't have gotten through these doorways without probably getting down on his hands, all fours. So 9 foot at least. Here's a man who is 9 foot tall. And it describes his armor. The weight of his armor alone was 125 pounds. So how much do you suppose he might have weighed? Maybe
400.
You think 400? He would have been skinny at 400. And he had this bronze sword slung between his shoulders. This was the same sword, you may remember, David found later. I think Abiathar the priest had it, or one of the priests anyway had it in his, I think, where they worshipped at that time. The way that he was dressed in his armor alone would have struck fear in the hearts of any soldier. And that's what we read here. They were quaking in fear. Saul and his army were. They were, first of all, immobilized. A dormancy. There's a dormancy here of fear. They didn't know what to do. They were really at a classic standoff there between the two armies. The Philistines sent out Gath, their champion named Goliath. And the Israelites really didn't have anyone. There was, apparently, Saul may have asked for volunteers, but there weren't any. Just one man. I mean, who would go up against someone like this? God had someone in mind. There was dormancy. There was dismay. We read here that Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified in verse 11. And when they heard the words from the Philistines, they lost their courage, this says, and were terrified. So that's the picture. They were faced with a fear. What do you do when you are faced with a fear? Do you want to just kind of get away from it. And sometimes you can't even do that because it just follows you wherever you go. Well, they couldn't get away from the situation, of course, with Goliath there taunting the troops of Israel. And so there was also a defeat. It'll lead to defeat if you let that fear take over in your life. Whatever it might be, whatever that Goliath is for you, if you let it take control of your life, it will. Because that's what fear wants to do. That's why the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it'll lead to defeat if we give in to our fears. What other lessons can we learn? Well, there's the lesson of facing a foe. In verse 45, quite a bit further down in the chapter, and we're leaving out, of course, a lot of very important information here. I want you to feel free to read that on your own and fill in the story here. It's always better to read it from the book, the Bible, rather than to get it secondhand from me or see it in a movie. I suppose it's been made into a movie. Certainly many Bible stories. But read it for yourself, and God will have lessons that He will imprint upon your heart that may be specially for you, specially designed just for you. The lesson of facing a foe. Well, there's the appearance of this Goliath. I mean, again, a fearsome appearance. And I love what Martin Luther did in his hymn, Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Do you remember that hymn where he said, we have this foe that we tremble not for him because God has given us the victory. He is our mighty fortress. I think he understood. I think he understood what was going through David's heart here. Again, David was a shepherd boy, but he had experienced how God had delivered him many times, how he had used him to kill a bear and a lion. And so here was a young boy who realized that God was greater than any foe that he could face. And I think it's something we need to be reminded of. I think it's why this is such an important Bible story, not just for children, but for all of us, because we're all faced with these Goliaths in our lives. They're the armor. Again, we've talked about these things and how this foe is there to taunt us and to make us question whether God is big enough to help us to overcome that foe. David said to him, You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, whose armies you have taunted. I'm sure everybody, when they saw that, thought, well, that boy's dog meat. He's dead. Goliath's going to chew him up and spit him out. And where would we be then? Well, we know the story, don't we? We know it didn't happen. But I think about how the Bible says that we also have an adversary whose name is the devil. And he's there in heaven right now, whispering in God's ear, saying things about us to make God angry with us, to make God ready to destroy us, because God has that power. Not only does he do that, but he's the slanderer. He slanders us. Here's the slanderer at work. He's slandering God to the armies of Israel, whom God had promised that he would give them the victory if they would only go forward in his name and with his power upon them. And it doesn't take a lot. One person with God is a majority, and he'll give the victory. If it's only David, the little shepherd boy. I mean, does that not say to us that there is no foe that we may face that will be too powerful for us? It may be too powerful for us, that foe may be, but it's not for God. And that's what David recognized. So we're going to look at David here. How did David respond? He fled a fear, he faced a foe, and he fought a fight. Verse 46, he said, "The Lord will hand you over to me today." He said that to Goliath. Now, whether he said it to, standing right there in his face, I don't think so. I think the Lord expects us to use some wisdom in dealing with the foe, but to realize that it's not us. Now, David was he had practiced out there in the shepherd fold, or not in the fold, but out there where the sheep were, with a slingshot. Kind of like some of you go out and shoot in the desert at targets or something. I mean, he got so good that he began to be to think, well, maybe one day God is going to use this skill that I'm practicing now for what God can do through me. We ought to take those abilities that God has given us and use them to His glory. And to pray, Lord, use me. Use me to win a battle for You. Use me to conquer that Goliath that You have sent me to conquer. And we all have them. It may be a disease, something that we're dealing with in our own lives. It may be a trial that's so great that we don't understand how we could ever conquer it. If we will do like David did, fight a good fight. Isn't that, I think, some of the last words of Paul? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Well, David fought a good fight here. And in that good fight, there was the faith of David, the faith that comes out here. Now, some have wondered why David picked up 5 stones. Did you ever wonder that?
Well, Goliath had brothers.
He did have brothers. And I've heard that explanation. That David was planning to use another stone for whoever else might come down out of the hills there. He wanted to be prepared. He was a Boy Scout. Like a Boy Scout. Well, some would say that showed a lack of faith. Maybe he thought, well, I may miss with the first one, so I better take some ammo with me. I don't think it hurts to be prepared. And I think otherwise we may run the danger of actually tempting the Lord. If He has given us that ability to be prepared and we're not prepared. So there may be some other reasons why David picked up 5 stones, but only 5. And he only had to use one, didn't he? We see the faith of David, how he said what he said, what he did to Goliath. I mean, doesn't this show an audacity of faith? I think in one of the titles of some book that's supposedly popular today, The Audacity of Hope. Well, the audacity of faith, I would say, is even more important. Here I see someone who had an audacity of faith. Just believe that God was big enough to conquer this enemy that was huge. So there's a faith here that we can learn from in David. And incidentally, where do we get that? Well, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If your faith is weak, then take the vitamin that God has given. Read His Word daily. And you'll find that your faith is beginning to grow. And you'll begin to be like David, thinking, well, God can do anything. And I'm just going to trust Him. I can witness to that neighbor that just seems so hard-hearted and maybe that even hates me. Because God has given me that power through Him. He'll give me the words. And so like David, you'll go out in the faith that God has given. You'll begin to put on the full armor of God, that we need that armor. Now you may know that David tried on Saul's armor. But I think it clanked as he walked, and he thought, this isn't going to work. And so he took it off. I don't think it was showed a lack of preparation or maybe too much tempting the Lord. No, I think that can happen, where we tempt the Lord, where we step out from that rooftop and say, Lord, catch me if You're there. No, that wouldn't be wise. God expects us to use this mind that He's given us. And David did that. So there's the fearless fighter's faith, his fidelity that we can learn from. He was obedient to His earthly father. And I remember about Jesus, where it says that Jesus was in subjection to His parents. And He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Here's, I think, where the Lord may have learned some of that from David. His ancestor. He was obedient to His earthly father. He was obedient to the king. Respectful. I mean, this is someone that everyone would like to have in their family. A very respectful young man. Who believed that there was no obstacle too big for God to conquer. So there's a fidelity that we can learn from. And his finish. He fought to the finish, didn't he? And slung that stone, the first one that he slung and hit Goliath right there, didn't he? And I know it sounds gruesome, and it probably was gruesome. He probably Well, probably good that we don't have a picture of it if we're a little bit squeamish. Because after that, David cut his head off. Can I say that? Yeah, he did. So, there was a rout. The armies of Israel began to, they gained courage and they conquered the enemy. All because of this little shepherd boy, David. And again, David, what can we learn from him? Well, we can learn from his fleeing of fear. That's where it must begin. I think even before we get out of bed in the morning, we need to face our fears and flee them, as the Bible says. And just claim that promise that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And then to face a foe, whatever that foe is, it's not too big for God. It may be too big. He may be too big for us, but he's not too big for God. And then to fight a fight and to keep the faith, as Paul later said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. And you'll find that God will win many victories through you.